just an important reminder on the aviation industry, there's lots of state-owned enterprises, government contacts here like oil and gas. Airports are often run by government agencies, and they permeate the aviation industry because we also have state-owned airlines as well.
Global companies face unprecedented risks and challenges in today's economy. To mitigate these legal and economic risks, companies are rapidly embracing and elevating the importance of robust ethics and compliance programs to promote positive corporate citizenship. On Corruption, Crime, and Compliance, you'll hear from industry leaders and insiders about how to create effective ethics and compliance programs that will mitigate risks and maximize financial performance. Here's your host, Michael Volkoff.
Welcome. This is Michael Volkoff, and welcome to another episode of Corruption, Crime, and Compliance. Hello, everyone. Happy New Year. Again, 2025 is going to be a great year and even better than 2024. And so a bit of optimism to start off the year. And I wanted to talk to you about today the AAR Corp FCPA settlement with DOJ and the SEC, which was announced late last year. The Justice Department and the SEC finished 2024 with a coordinated resolution of criminal and civil FCPA charges against AAR Corporation. It's an Illinois-based provider of aviation products and services. In addition, DOJ unsealed a criminal indictment and guilty plea dated August 1st, 2024 by Deepak Sharma, the CEO of an AAR subsidiary, and you'll see he's the orchestrator here, or his role in the FCPA scheme. Also, the FCC entered into, interestingly, a separate civil resolution with Deepak Sharma, under which Sharma agreed to pay disgorgement of $130,000 plus prejudgment interest of $53,000, and the SEC noted Sharma's cooperation in the SEC's investigation. Julian Ayers, a former third-party agent of AAR, pled guilty in the District of Columbia on July 15, 2024, for his role. In the DOJ settlement, AAR entered into a non-prosecution agreement. Interestingly, AAR was represented by the former chief of the FCPA unit, Daniel Kahn, and he was able to secure a non-prosecution agreement for an 18-month term. Between the two settlements, AAR agreed to pay a total of $55 million and to provide compliance reports for the 18-month period under which it has the NPA. DOJ did not give AAR credit for self-disclosure, but DOJ and SEC credited them for its cooperation and remediation. Although they self-reported, they didn't get the first one in the door credit because prior to the self-report, several English language articles had been published in media outlets in Nepal and South Africa that described the potential irregularities in the contracts and the enforcement action. So between 2015 and 2020, AAR engaged in bribery schemes in Nepal and South Africa, like I mentioned. In Nepal, Sharma orchestrated and implemented a bribery scheme to win a contract for the sale of two Airbus A330 aircraft to Nepal Airlines, a government-owned airline. And AAR retained the third-party agent, Mr. Ayers, to pay bribes to officials who had control over the contract. In South Africa, Sharma was involved in a bribery scheme involving a contract for AAR to provide aviation services to a subsidiary of a government-owned South African Airways. In all, AAR paid millions of dollars in bribes as part of the two schemes and profited approximately by $24 million. AAR agreed to continue to enhance its compliance program and report to the Justice Department regarding remediation during the 18-month period. Their remedial measures included an enterprise-wide review of all existing high-risk third-party representatives and reducing its use of international sales agents, enhancing protocols for onboarding and vetting of third parties, taking employment actions, including promptly separating one employee involved in the conduct and disciplining other employees responsible for oversight. They strengthened their anti-corruption compliance program, invested in compliance resources, expanded its compliance function with experienced and qualified personnel. They appointed a chief ethics and compliance officer and hired a compliance monitoring manager. They also implemented a compliance risk assessment program that enabled AAR to proactively identify new areas of risk, enhancing their public bidding policies and monitoring implementation of these enhancements. And they began to roll out a messaging application retention tool and implementing compliance auditing and periodic anti-corruption site reviews and engaging in continuous testing, monitoring, and improvement. DOJ awarded AAR a 45% reduction off the applicable guideline sentence. And they gave significant weight to the company's self-report here, even though they were late by 12 days to get the most credit they could get. So that's the background. Let's talk about a little bit more about the schemes in Nepal and the schemes in South Africa under which they secured these contracts. Now, just an important reminder on the aviation industry, there's lots of state-owned enterprises, government contacts here like oil and gas. Airports are often run by government agencies, and they permeate the aviation industry because we also have state-owned airlines as well. So the Nepal scheme, between November 2015 and August of 2018, what we saw was Sharma again orchestrated the payment of bribes to a Nepal government official in order to win the competitive bidding process to sell the two Airbus aircraft to the Nepal Airline Corporation, which is a state-owned entity. They earned profits of about $6 million on this sale. Sharma attended a meeting in Nepal with a Nepal intermediary and Nepal government official, during which the sale of the airplanes was discussed. The Nepal Air official proposed that Sharma, on behalf of the AAR subsidiary, engage an intermediary as a lobbyist for the potential sale. And there you go with another kiss of death. With regard to that, you have a referral from a government representative to a third party for purposes of bribery. Now, before the RFP was issued for the purchase, the Nepal official sent confidential information, non-public drafts of the RFP document to Sharma, which Sharma used to propose changes to benefit AAR in the bidding process. For example, on March 29, 2016, 6 months before the RFP was released publicly, Sharma forwarded an email to two executives at AAR containing a draft RFP that was circulated among NAC officials. In his email, Sharma stated, "Please find attached draft RFP. This is not published yet, and it is strictly for the three of us, you and I, to comment and change any terms to suit AAR. Let me know if you want any changes made to the payment terms or bid terms so that it favors AAR. I can ask these to incorporate on the RFP for publication. I am meeting with the Nepal official and chairman this week." As another example, on or about September 1st, 2016, 1 month before the tender was issued, a Nepal official sent an email to Sharma saying, "What I have in mind is that we will specify MOU signing date, purchase agreement date, and delivery date in such a way that a competitor of AAR cannot meet delivery dates. Following is tentative dates, and I want your feedback as to whether you can meet delivery dates. Tentative dates I personally fixed, but not yet shared with other NAC executives." And about a month and a half later, October 30th, in reference to the transaction, the Nepal official sent a text message to Sharma stating, quote, "No need to worry at all. Almost all higher-ups are in our pocket," close quote. In November 2016, the AAR subsidiary engaged an intermediary company to represent AAR in exchange for a commission of 7% of the final sales price. And on 2016, November 8th, the AAR subsidiary and a German company entered into an agreement. It was a joint venture, entered into an agreement to prepare a joint bid for the sale. The next day, while in Nepal, Sharma sent a text message to an individual stating, quote, "I am having dinner with the head of evaluation committee now. We are discussing how to throw others out, even if they come below our bid. See you tomorrow," close quote. After winning the contract, AAR and the German joint venture partner reorganized, backdated their agreement, added the Nepal intermediary, and established an Ireland SPV. Ireland SPV was used to funnel the, that's a special purpose vehicle, to funnel bribery payments of approximately $500,000 to the Nepal intermediary and Nepal official through a Hong Kong bank account, a portion of which was given to the Nepal official. The payments were disguised and authorized based on sham invoices. After these initial payments, the Ireland SPV was used again to send commission payments of a total of $6 million to the Nepal intermediary, portions of which were shared among the intermediaries and the Nepal official. Pretty blatant scheme there with just blatant, you know, explicit text messages and emails indicating how the bribery scheme was working. Let's talk about South Africa for a minute. Between January 2016 and 2020, AAR, with the assistance of Julian Ayres, the third-party agent, paid three separate South African officials to secure a five-year contract with South African Airways Technical, SAT, to provide component support and disbursement payments by SAT pursuant to that contract. In January 2016, Ayres attended a meeting in South Africa with individual number one, individual number two, and South African official one, during which it was discussed and agreed that South Africa official one, official two, and official three were to receive a share of the revenue of the SAT contract in exchange for helping AAR and its joint venture partner obtain the SAT contract. Ayres understood from the three officials that they had authority over the award of the SAT contract and that bribes were necessary to win the contract. On January 18, 2016, an AAR subsidiary entered into a joint venture agreement with, for purposes of preparing a joint bid for the SAT contract. Under the joint venture agreement, the subsidiary was to receive 95% of all revenues received under the JV agreement, and the JV partner was to receive 5% of all revenues. The JV partner acted as an AAR subsidiary based upon the broad-based Black economic empowerment partner requirements, local partnership requirements in South Africa for the SAT contract bid, which the AAR subsidiary and JV partner submitted on January 18, 2016. Now, the AAR subsidiary agreed to pay the JV partner an additional success fee and to make a one-time advance payment to the JV partner. Ayres understood that the additional success fee and one-time advance payment were necessary and would be used to make bribery payments to officials one, two, and three in order for the subsidiary and JV partner to win the contract. During the bidding process, contrary to the bid procurement rules, Ayres met several times with South African official one and secured confidential information to assist the AAR subsidiary and joint venture partner in winning the bid. Over the course of the SAT contract, Ayres maintained records tracking the bribe payments due to South African official one, two, and three. And to disguise the bribes, Ayres and co-conspirators referred to the payments as consulting fees and referred to the foreign officials by nicknames, Cuz, C-U-Z, Sissy, S-I-S-I, or Sissy, S-I-S-S-Y, and Boti as South African official three. Proceeds from the contract were then divided among Ayres and the co-conspirators. During the course of the SAT contract between 2016 and 2020, SAT paid AAR approximately $80 million. In turn, between 2016 and 2020, the subsidiary paid Company One and JV Partner approximately $5.4 million in commissions, success fees, and advance payments, a portion of which was then paid as bribes to South African officials one, two, and three. The payments from the AAR subsidiary to Company One and JV Partner were made to four bank accounts as directed by the JV Partner, including bank accounts in the U.S. under the name of Company One and JV Partner. Ayres knew and Sharma understood that a portion of the $5.4 million paid by AAR was used to pay bribes to SAT officials involved in awarding the contract to the AAR subsidiary and JV partner. That's the last case we're going to talk about in terms of FCPA for 2024. We'll be looking for 2025 to see what comes up. But an interesting case, aviation industry, third parties, manipulation of the tender process, all of this important for compliance folks and for looking for red flags, particularly when you're dealing in industry like the aviation industry. Thanks again, folks. And we'll see you next week for another episode. Happy New Year again. As Larry David says, you have 10 days in the beginning of the year to wish everybody a Happy New Year. After that, no more. Anyways, thanks, everybody. See you next week.
If you enjoyed this episode, the best way to support the show is by subscribing on your favorite listening platform. To learn more and connect with Michael Volkoff, go to volkovlaw.com.